Welcome to another episode of Unprofessional. I'm one of two hosts here. I'm Jamie Newberry, and right here with me is Dave Wiskus. How are you today, Dave?
I am fantastic,
Jamie. I love to hear it.
Is it two hosts or are there three hosts on this show?
You know, it's really probably three because we have a rotating co-host, I guess, right?
Right. I don't think of the third person as a guest or an interviewee. I think of them as just the other rotating host.
Well, who is our other host today, Dave?
I have no idea.
Well,
do we have one?
I have written on a piece of paper here that there's some guy named Mike Hurley here with us today.
Some dude. Is he here?
Are you here, Mike?
Caller, are you there?
Hello, there he is.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How are
Tally-ho
you
today? Tally-ho to you all.
You just came in British right off the top there.
That's yep, fantastic. I tend to do that. That's how I tend to have all my interactions.
It's how
hi, rules. Guys. I'm so happy to be here. I'm a fan of the show. First-time caller or something.
First-time caller.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. We're very glad to have you here.
So, we were talking before the show, right, about the fact that we're all in different time zones.
Right, and you're from GMT.
Yeah, ultimate time zone.
Greenwich Mean Time, right, is what that means.
And I mentioned, so I looked this up, and I found that, because I was very surprised a couple of days ago to find out that South Australia has a strange time zone difference to the rest of the world. So it's 10.5 hours ahead of GMT. And I didn't know that the 30-minute difference existed.
Why even bother at that point? Yeah. Why the 30 minutes? What do we gain out of that?
I mean, 30 minutes, I suppose.
30 minutes further into the future.
It's either a jump start on lunch or a late lunch.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't get why you'd care. Because the only reason to have time zones is because now we can travel so quickly that they matter. Because it used to be that you could just say, well, noon was when the sun was at its highest. But now we have, like, conference calls and shit like that. So we have to line things up.
Yeah, it makes things much more complicated these days.
But if it was just one time zone and you could just be like, speak to you at 2, okay, no problem. But, like, right? 2 for me might be, like, in the middle of the night.
It's very true.
Or it could be lunchtime.
But then we got a problem of, like, movies and TV shows dealing with time.
Very true. So maybe that's what it's all for. It was all created around these things.
Within the narrative of a story, if the characters are like, oh, we'll meet at 4, that might matter for the story, but now you have to talk about the location so the audience knows where these people are.
Mm. So smart, Wiskus.
I think through the tough problems.
Helping the world with tough problems.
So Mike, for anybody out there who doesn't know you already, please explain yourself.
Explain yourself.
As well as being British, which is probably my defining characteristic.
Are you James Bond?
I am James Bond. I'm the new James Bond. I wish I was James Bond.
Are you Doctor Who?
I am the Ninth Doctor. I'm a podcaster. That's what I do. That's what people might know me for. I have a bunch of shows on 5x5, including The Prompt and Command Space, which people may have heard of. If they haven't, then they should. And I've been podcasting for about four years. You have. That was how me and you became acquainted.
I would say that's how you and I became friends.
We did become friends. You convinced me to come to Ireland, so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
We're going to get super, super drunk.
Yes.
With the Ninth Doctor.
With the Ninth Doctor.
Christopher Eccleston?
Yes, I am Christopher Eccleston.
Huh. Well, that's a pretty good get for us.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are all about celebrities, so.
Yeah, that's our thing. So you cast some pods.
Mm-hmm.
That's your thing. You cast pods.
That's what I do.
So we can put some links in the show notes so people can go and listen. Because I'm going to assume that anybody who listens to this show likes podcasts.
Probably.
We hope so, right?
Or at least understands how they work.
They've got that part down. We got to give them that much. Yep.
This is a great one because when people come on and they'll plug their app or something, there's no guarantee that people who listen to this podcast will like apps or like that kind of app. But it's a pretty safe bet that if you like this episode of this podcast with Mike Hurley talking, you're probably going to want to listen to him talk more. And there's a whole wealth of recordings out there of him talking that you could go listen to immediately after this.
Many, many, many hours. So people should just do that.
Where are you physically located, Mike?
I live just outside of London, in Essex, which is
Essex.
But where I am, because Essex is quite a large county, but where I am is just east of London, basically. Gotcha. I grew up in East London, though, as a kid, but moved out here a couple of years ago.
There's a street two streets over from me called Essex.
So similar.
It's because everything about America is based on Britain, because, you know, we used to basically run your country for you for a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, it's like we're practically neighbors.
We are neighbors, really, in spirit.
Two blocks
at least.
Away.
That's what I get out of that.
Two blocks and a bit of a time zone change. We're so close.
It's no biggie.
Well, the real joke there is that it's two blocks in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. It's not even towards the Atlantic Ocean.
Nah, it's we'll the other way around. That.
Yeah. It's like those time zones. I just don't understand distance. Maps, how do they work?
Who needs maps these days?
It's all for, getting around and whatnot. We don't go anywhere anymore, do we? We all work from home.
Well, I live in a new city, so I spend a lot of my time looking at maps and trying to figure things out. Plus,
you
there's the
places
added.
Now.
Yeah, there's also the added problem of subways.
Do you use paper maps, Dave, or do your phone?
I use my phone because I can walk around Manhattan looking at my phone and I just look like everybody else. If I walk around Manhattan with a giant paper map.
That's why I had to ask.
You'd probably get arrested.
I was going to say mugged, but yeah, something bad is going to happen to me. Nothing good's coming out of that situation.
Who's this creep? What's he up to?
He must be a terrorist.
He can't afford a mobile phone, so he must
be. Map.
Do people still use paper maps? Do they still sell paper maps?
I'm going to say yes. But
surely they do.
Can you read a map?
Yeah, I can read a map.
I can read the map on my phone.
Yeah, I mean, true map reading, like without the GPS.
Yep. I believe I can read a map. I grew up having to read maps.
I've never actually done it, but I think I can do it.
All right, here's a dumb question. What's the difference?
It's knowing where you are on the map.
I think it's the thing about figuring out where you are.
Yeah. Knowing where you need to go, the orientation.
Well, you can use a compass.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. You can use a compass, but that only tells you which direction on the map should be pointed up.
Right, but that helps you figure out your location and then where you want to go.
So you'd look and be like, okay, so this is north and that street is that street. So if I carry on going in this direction, I'll find X place.
Oh, I see. Well, sure. I was thinking like if you were in the woods or something.
Yeah, it'd be way easier if the sun didn't keep moving around, but, you know, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We could start with the sun being in one spot and then the sun's in a different spot. I don't know. This is not a problem I've ever had.
But what if it did happen? What if you're in a survival situation?
What if? So there's that school of thought, these hardcore people who they like the survivalist people.
My dad was one of those guys.
Or the people who think that you need to learn how to hunt because what if?
Yeah.
I don't, like, that just doesn't seem like a thing I'm ever going to run into in my life.
There are so many what if scenarios, I actually can't prepare for them all, so I'll kind of just carry on and be happy rather than try and learn how to skin a rabbit or something.
Right.
In the event of the zombie apocalypse, you need to learn how to cut and or catch and kill your own food and shit like that. I just don't believe that's true.
There are many things that I wouldn't be ready for in the zombie apocalypse. Learning how to, like, catch a bear or something is not going to help me in any way.
My general
like, athleticism would be my real Achilles heel. Like
sort of a primary factor, right?
Yeah.
I always wonder about that, too. I don't know if I can hike for 8 days solid, you know? In addition to having to run away from things trying to kill me.
I think that I could run for like a minute and then I would just be like, okay, you can kill me now because I'm not going to do this anymore. This is almost like death anyway.
So, you know, that used to be the thing that drove my dad crazy is that I was more apathetic about, I'm like, you know, if we live in a time where we need a bunch of guns to defend ourselves, like I kind of would rather not be a part of all of that. And, you know, he was so frustrated that I would be apathetic about that. And I don't even know if apathy is the right word, but like, I would rather not be a part of that. Like, just shoot me. I don't need to be a part of this.
And I'm right there with you. It just feels like fucking... Who cares? If it comes down to that, I've got so many other problems on top of this problem that really not being able to get food means I die in 3 days instead of a month.
If anything, it might be better to be caught by a zombie because, you know, that's a quick death rather than like a starvation.
Yeah.
I've thought about that. If I tried watching The Walking Dead, I could only get a few episodes into it. Maybe I'll get through it later. But I'm watching this and I'm thinking, would I want to survive to that point?
Right. To four seasons in?
Would I want to? Yeah. Would I even want to live that long in that scenario? Because I watch these characters and they do things with their walking places or their, you know, they got their assorted shit going on. And I just keep thinking, like, man, why would you be walking for that long? Well, I guess there's literally nothing else to do. It's not like you could say, screw it, I'm going to go watch TV instead.
It's true. It's very true.
Sounds, I don't know, if your only thing in life is just trying to stay alive and not get eaten by zombies, that sounds like a pretty horrible life.
In all honesty, I don't know if I could cope with the boredom. Like, I don't do very well with not having things to do.
You'd run out of battery life on all our devices, and then what?
And then I'd be like, well, I might as well just die now, because what's left,
there's nothing
really
to do. And we can't make noise, because that'll attract the zombies.
Exactly.
That's it. See, that's the part that was second. It's like, you can't even play your guitar or whatever, you know, it's just, yeah, you can't watch TV, you can't power aside. You're going to attract noise, and then the zombies are going to come eat you. You may as well just give in.
Well, assuming no zombies, it's, let's just say, an end of the world scenario. I'm the last person on Earth, and let's even say that the electrical grid stays active for longer than I will be alive. So I've got all the electricity I could ever want. Let's just say, What am I going to do with all that time?
Whatever you want.
I like, one of the first things I'd do is I'd want to go to like an arena and just rock out. But that's going to be fun for about 45 minutes, and I'm going to realize that nobody will ever hear what I'm doing. I'm going to get really sad, and then I'm going to smash the guitar and walk off.
Yeah, I don't think I would do very well in a scenario where I'm also the only person on the Earth. Like, I think that goes for anybody that, like, does this sort of stuff. Obviously, I like not only the sound of my own voice, but for people to hear it. Otherwise, I kind of wouldn't bother doing any of this. So I don't think I would do very well in that kind of scenario where it's like, right, all you have is yourself to entertain now. Good luck with that. I don't think I would deal very well with that.
This is like the Twilight Zone, guys. Did you ever see that one episode of Twilight? Do you guys watch Twilight Zone?
The guy with the glasses
and
the books?
Yeah, the guy with the glasses and the books.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking about.
I've never seen this, so you're going to need to help me.
It's this guy who really loves reading books, and he's annoyed by other people.
He's kind of a curmudgeon.
There's some scenario, I forget exactly what happens, but everybody else in the world disappears, and he's left with all of the books he could ever want to read, and he breaks his glasses, so he can't read them.
Yep, he has these huge glasses, like, he's very dependent on these glasses, and they make that clear as the episode builds, and then, it's really good, though, actually. I'm a big fan of the old Twilight Zones.
I assume he didn't break them on purpose.
No, they fell off, and then he stepped on them, I think, while he was looking for them, you know, kind of thing. And they were, like, completely beyond repair, not just a little crack. Yep.
So it's that great Twilight Zone irony of situation.
Finally got what he wanted, and then he couldn't, you know, he doesn't have the capacity to read because he broke his glasses. The only thing that would make him happy in this world. He lost his means to do that. Almost like having your eyes stabbed out.
I've never seen The Twilight Zone, but I'm familiar with it. So is it basically just this type of thing every week where, like, someone gets what they want, but then it's like torture?
They're different.
Kind of. There's another famous episode where there's a woman who's been in some kind of accident. She's had plastic surgery. And as a result of this, like, her face is covered in this
bandage, like, surgical, the whole time.
Yeah, the bandage. And the medical staff who keeps coming in, they've got their face masks on, and they keep talking about, you know, whether or not she's going to be. Well, I think maybe she was like an actress or a model or something.
Yeah, it was but something where her face is a big deal.
And then the flip at the end is they take the bandage off, and it reveals that she's this gorgeous woman. But they show her a mirror, and she freaks out, and everybody else pulls their masks down, and they're all these grotesque pig people.
Yeah. Yep. The pig snap faces.
Okay.
So the whole thing is, you know, beauty. This is a great podcast right here. let's just describe the plot of TV shows we've seen.
There are lots of podcasts that do that, I think.
Oh,
suddenly,
man.
We're the incomparable, but less interesting. So all of these movies that do the end of the world thing, it seems like it's either all about the destruction or zombies, or you'll see people in situations where they're the only person. Like, there's like a solitude situation like Castaway, but they're on an island. What I'd like to see is, what would you do if you had the entire planet to yourself? You could go anywhere, you could do anything, but you're completely alone.
Right. There have been things like that, right? I'm trying to think. Was there a Will Smith movie? It was based on a book.
I Am Legend, but yeah. he there were zombies.
Okay. So this is kind of like Ferris Bueller, like.
Kind of. Imagine Ferris Bueller if everyone else on the planet Earth disappeared.
So it's not necessarily upsetting. It's not necessarily. Or like scary. It's just kind of like.
I think in the way that like Castaway, in that way where he's on this island alone and he's surviving, but you know, if this were what was the reference you just made?
Ferris Bueller.
So it's kind of happy. He didn't crash and end up somewhere. It's just everybody's gone and everything still works and everything's still kind of as it is today. There's just no people and you have unlimited resources, basically.
Right. So you'd have Ferris Bueller, his parade, singing Twist and Shout.
By himself, though.
Yeah. And nobody's there to see it.
See, that's part of the whole thing is his day with his friends, helping Cameron and Sloane.
I think I would commit loads of crimes.
But are they crimes?
That's the thing, because they wouldn't be illegal, so I would just do loads of things that would be considered to be illegal. Like, I would steal everything.
You would steal things. Like, I would just
steal things that I shouldn't have, like fast cars and stuff, and then just drive them around and just trash them and just that sort of stuff. Stuff that it doesn't actually matter. Things that they don't matter anymore because there's nobody there to hurt.
Yeah.
But what if you woke up... So here's the plot. Character wakes up one day, and for reasons unknown, everyone else on the planet is just gone.
Would you try to figure out what happened?
How long do you spend trying to work out what happened? And at what point... There's the question of, is a crime a crime? Like, if you go around breaking stuff just for the fun of it, is everybody going to show up again? Are you then going to be in trouble? At what point do you just say, fuck it?
I think that would be a little while for me. I mean, at first, I would probably spend a couple of days at least thinking it was an elaborate practical joke.
Right. That's a very elaborate practical joke.
Like, I would, because it would seem so unbelievable.
Right.
That it would have to be that. That's kind of my thinking, I think, for a little bit. I'd be like, well, everyone's just going to jump out at the moment, you know, anytime now, and people are going to be here.
The moment I go to commit a crime.
Yeah, that'll be right there. It's an elaborate police sting.
I think that's entrapment on a massive scale. I think that I would spend at least... it would be very difficult for me to convince myself that I wasn't hallucinating or having some kind of like episode.
Yeah.
That this was actually happening. To convince myself this were really happening would be tough.
That's a bizarre one. Yeah, I think, I like the idea of it would take me a couple days because, like, I don't even know what time means at that point, you know?
But what do you do with yourself? What do you do to pass the time?
That's a fine question, man. Because it's open, you know, I mean, I think very similar to Mike, what he's saying, you know, take a little bit to just make sure that the situation was as it seems. You know, you got to make sure that nobody really is there. You know, you probably spend some time calling people and trying to and shooting out some emails. Yep. Man, I haven't had
some emails.
I haven't had an auto, you know, a newsletter in days. What's going on?
No, you'd still be getting all the automated stuff. Like, everything still works. You'd still get spam.
No, but here's the thing. Somebody's creating these spams. I mean, somebody has to generate content, right?
I guess. But you're still going to get, something.
It's
going
to trickle out eventually. It's going to, you know, sort of peter out, I would think.
Oh, man, that's so creepy, though. The thought of everybody else on the planet is gone, but then your phone buzzes.
Ooh. But then that's hope. That's like some sort of hope.
And it turns out it's just spam from an automated spam bot that was still running somewhere.
That would be
painful. You get some weird Twitter follower and all you do is just tweet at them for like 2 weeks. Are you there? You must be there, right? Are you there?
That's your Wilson.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. That's your Wilson.
Oh, man. This is such a great story. I'm loving this movie.
I would make so many websites.
Why?
Because I would be able to. No one could stop me. I would just make lots of websites.
Just
in case everybody comes back, like, look what I've been doing while you've been away.
I've been so productive.
You're worried that you're going to appear to be a slacker if the whole world shows up again.
Yeah, I think that says something quite significant about me.
What about podcasts?
I would keep doing
podcasts.
Them.
Yeah, yep,
I would. Every day be a daily show about what I'm finding in the world. I think
the
one
daily
of my
journal.
main my main issues would be I wouldn't be able to leave the country.
You could.
Well, yeah, and that's
I don't think I would trust myself to fly a plane or sail a boat.
Plane pretty much flies itself, and you got all the time in the world to learn.
That's true too. It's like the Groundhog Day thing.
Yeah, I guess when I find myself at my most desperate, well, try and fly a plane, because if you make it, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself. If you don't, well, then you know, dealt with.
Yep. Problem solved.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Unless you cause some sort of injury where you're just in pain.
Oh.
Wounded. That's the fear I have. It's like that. Yeah, you just wound yourself inadvertently, and you're stuck there without help, wounded. Ugh, that would be the worst.
But assuming that you have a mode of transportation that'll get you from A to B reliably and safely, one of the first things to pop into my head is going and exploring the pyramids. Or, you know, traveling, Ooh. Seeing the world, stuff like that. But if anything happens and I hurt myself, I'm just fucked.
Yep. Okay, animals. Do animals still exist?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, they have to
because you need food.
Because I would really prefer it if they didn't.
Well, there's nature still, but, you know.
Why would you prefer if they didn't?
Because then I could explore, like, the pyramids without fear of snakes.
Are there snakes in the pyramids now?
I'm going to assume that there is.
Is that a real thing, or is that Indiana Jones thing?
Well, because of that, I would assume there is, and then I won't necessarily want to go in the pyramids so much.
That's the thing.
It's full of snakes.
I want to believe that all of the, like, you know, friendly beasts, the furry cute things are alive, but spiders and snakes could not be alive. That would be awesome if we could choose
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Animals would have to be alive because there's the entire ecosystem, and we've got plants and stuff to think about.
Well, the humans are a part of that, and if they're gone, we can kind of create this.
Well, if humans are gone, then the ecosystem's probably in better shape.
It's true. It's very true.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, well, what if you could pick and choose which animals? Like,
I can deal with that.
If it were me and my dog, that would be significantly better than if it were just me.
Yeah, I feel like you're letting yourself off easy there, though.
Yeah, because you've got companionship, and so...
Yeah.
It's something you feel affection for. The rest of us have lost everything, and yet you get to keep your dog. That's not fair, Dave.
Okay, that's fine. You win. No dog. I think I would still find something to attach to, though.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Very much like the volleyball. Something.
Your Twitter account. Twitter bot.
Yeah, I would be the same. I would have to find something to talk to. So
how does the story end?
I think
you just die eventually.
Basically, I go into space or something.
Ooh, space. I like that.
I think that would be my goal.
I think that'd be tough to pull off.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I give it
about flying a plane.
Exactly. Well, you know, if I can learn how to fly the plane, then I'll just assume that I can learn to construct and fly a spacecraft.
There's got to be some leftovers there over in Houston.
Leftovers?
Spaceship leftovers that you can just, you know, they're there still. Pretty good condition.
Cobble together like so much Lego.
Cobble together. I'm going to cobble together through my spacecraft. Launch out.
Oh, I could do this.
For some lunar travel, lunar exploration. I could do this.
Sure, why not? So, seriously, though, if we're workshopping a movie, how does the movie end? What's the ending?
I think it's one of those endings where nothing sort of big happens, but something happens that indicates that there's a change coming. You know, it's one of those, like, movies that ends where it's like, oh, and it's up to the viewer to decide.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if everybody just disappears, you've asked a question. If you don't provide some kind of answer to that, the audience is going to be upset.
But there are ways to do that to imply multiple interpretations to an outcome, you know? I actually saw a movie like that recently. It was Robert Redford, Out at Sea. I don't remember what it was called. But it was similar to Castaway, but not quite as entertaining. And at the very end, he like sinks, but then he sees this hand reach down to like help him. And in my interpretation, he died. You know, not just that.
Right.
But my boyfriend's interpretation was that he was actually saved. So, you know, I don't know. That was some open. I think that we could take this in that way. Like Mike was saying, like something that's sort of it implies something's happened, and yet it can be taken a number of different ways, can be interpreted.
So here's our ending. The last shot of the movie is a telephone pole with a flyer, a missing person's flyer with our main character's picture on it.
Whoa, ooh, that's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was a great reaction from you guys.
We're in on this.
All right. Well, I'll start on the screenplay. I'll get a first draft over to you guys.
That's great. That's a really good ending.
It really is. I got to give it to you, Dave.
Was he crazy all along?
Was this? Yeah. Did this really happen, or was just this the thing that you would imagine that could have happened to a missing person? Do missing people just disappear into an alternate Earth with no other people?
Did he go missing and then woke up in this scenario? So actually, all of that happened before the movie even started.
Yeah, it's so complex. You know, like the sad thing is, the best person for this would be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It's true. It's true. It'd be a great... Sure, there are other options out there, not to undermine that he would be a great, perfect fit for that, but... But, you know, there are other options.
And also, we'll have to choose. Not to make it sad.
Yeah, you did that, though. You went all serious on the stage. Now it's all sad.
I was in joke mode, and then you kind of ruined that.
I made it real.
Yeah, you made it real.
Sorry. Well, I'll cut that part out.
What part?
Then we'll just be sad now. We'll all be downers, and nobody will understand why.
You've had a great idea, and now we're all sad about it. Oh, Dave. Why?
Well, I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to stop and thank this week's sponsor.
Let's do that.
Jamie, this week's sponsor is a little bit different. We're going to try an experiment.
Okay.
Instead of a regular sponsor, we're going to turn it over to the listener.
Oh my gosh.
In the show notes and on the website, we're going to add a link that says donate, and there's going to be a star next to it. It's going to be really easy to see. That link goes to PayPal, where the listener can give as much or as little as they want. So to you, the listener, if you're a fan of the show, if you really like this episode in particular, or if you're one of those people who just hates listening to ads, this is your chance to speak up.
It's like NPR.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, this isn't going to be the end of ads, probably, but it's a thing. We're trying this out.
Let's give it a shot.
Unless there's an overwhelmingly huge response to this, there's no plan to make it a regular thing. We just happen to have a down week while we work on a bigger plan that hopefully we'll get to tell everybody about soon.
Awesome. And it's a good plan.
Now, you know how much we love experiments here at Unprofessional. This is a way for you, our beloved listener, to support the show directly. The link is in the show notes. It's on the site, or you can go to unprofesh.com/donate. And while you're clicking on things or typing things in, you should also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/unprofesh.
I can't wait to see how this turns out. I love surprises.
I love experiments.
Same here. I love that too.
I think it's time for us to get back to the show.
I agree. I could not agree more. We're so in agreement on this show, on everything, it seems, right now. I don't know.
Simpatico.
It seems like we got to mix some things up here. I don't know what it's going to be, but maybe Mike can throw something our way.
You need to say something like super controversial.
Controversial yet fun. I don't want the fun to be deflated from the show.
Okay, I don't like dogs.
Well, what? See, are you a pet person at all?
Not really.
A pet person? Oh, I see what you mean.
I am somebody's pet, yeah.
didn't quite follow that.
That's a different show. I should probably clarify and say I don't like any animal that decides it needs to be in my business all the time, constantly.
My dog's not in my business.
See, I can deal with that. I like animals that I can, you know, take or leave, basically. That, when I walk through a door, yeah. I don't want them jumping on me. And if I'm sitting and watching TV, I don't want them, like, jumping up and just, like, licking me and stuff. I don't enjoy that. Because I'm not a massive pet person. I like animals, but I'm not a big pet person. I don't really like them to be constantly involved in my life.
I think you would like my dog. Like, right now, she's just chilling over there on the couch.
Pet owners will say this about their pets, though. You would
like
my
pet. Yeah, I get that a lot. Yep. Now, my dog doesn't do that, and then they just don't leave me alone.
My dog is objectively awesome.
And that's... You have a great name for your dog, too, right?
Indisputable fact of nature, law of physics, my dog is amazing.
Sound like every dog owner right now.
Yeah, it's true. I have to agree with Mike on this one, because it's although I've never met your dog, but your dog's cute. From, you know, everything I can tell from pictures, I am a pet person. I mean, I'm a person who likes pets. So, you know, I contrast there. I love pets, and I think I prefer dogs over cats if I had to choose between the two. But I have cats instead of a dog, just for practicality purposes, more than anything else.
See, in general, I prefer cats to dogs, because cats are more, I will leave you alone. But if you could give me the choice of a dog that will leave me alone and a cat that will leave me alone, I'd go for a dog.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. I like that you would take a pet that leaves you alone. That's very interesting. Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm happy to, you know, to provide for them and then to be around. And when I, you know, and obviously it's not a total one-way relationship. I won't, like, just ignore the dog except when I'm ready for the dog. Because that's kind of not fair. But I just don't want it to be like a constant thing, you know? That's what frustrates me.
Interesting.
I'm going to stand by what I said.
But your dog's amazing and doesn't do any of that stuff.
No, nobody who has ever met my dog has disliked my dog.
Is there a third party that can corroborate this? Because I think that you really like your dog quite a lot. And
my dog's okay.
I would try not to say that if we were in person and I was introduced to your dog, I wouldn't tell you I hate your dog, Dave. You know?
No.
And so I think you know, they might be being nice to you. So
sorry, that was my doorbell.
I was going to say, was that your dog?
Scared the shit out of me. I'll say that.
Has nobody ever rung your doorbell before? What is that?
Are you expecting company?
Super loud. No,
I didn't know that there were doorbells in New York.
Yeah, don't they just leave packages at the door?
I just assumed that there were no houses, just apartment buildings.
Yes, I live in an apartment, but there's a doorbell.
How did they get in to the apartment building?
You buzz them up.
The UPS people have the door code.
That's very trusting.
Well, I mean, I guess. I also lock my front door, so it's not
a... Do you need to answer the door?
No.
Okay.
They do this. When UPS comes, they ring the doorbell and they just leave the package.
Yeah, they
might as well just leave the package. Like, at that point, it's just...
They do that at my house, too. I mean, I live in a regular house, you know, out in the suburbs and stuff. And yeah, they ring the bell and then run. It's almost like I feel like they run away. Because I'm home most of the time when the package comes. But by the time I get to the door, they're gone. Like, the truck's driving away.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, bye. Thank you.
We don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, it really is. No hellos. no pleasantries. They're done. They're like, on to the next package. It's very interesting.
I feel that delivery people in the UK have a vendetta against the people that they're delivering to. Like, sometimes I will be waiting at home for a package and you're kind of waiting for it all day. And then you get a notification, nobody was at home. Like, you're just lying now. You're just lying to me because I've been here all day and you did not attempt to get into this building in any way. That happens to me more than
imagine your job was so repetitive and monotonous.
Maybe they love their job. Like you love your dog.
Clearly they don't. Clearly they don't if they're skipping houses.
Just lying.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there are a few that they are very miserable. It's the individuals, you know. I don't want to overgeneralize because there may be some delivery folks that just dig what they do.
They love
delivery. I think it's a safe generalization to make. I'm pretty sure there's not a huge contingent of UPS and FedEx people who listen to this show.
I don't know. They are driving around a lot.
We may be surprised, Dave.
And maybe they're skipping the packages because they're sitting in their truck listening to Unprofessional.
That's right.
They're just laughing so much that they can't get out.
They're so impressed with their screenplay ideas.
They had to rush home to write their screenplay. You need to protect that.
I have to get this down before somebody else does. Yeah, you know, the more I think about this, the more I kind of want to... Well, no, because prior art, we discussed it here. We can sue.
Is that how that works?
Sure.
You made that decision. Yep, that's how that works.
Why not?
Very late.
We can say definitively that we had this idea before them.
It's true.
Yeah, we have proof. I'm okay with it. What's with the third degree? Come on.
We just want to make sure that your idea is safe.
That's right.
We care about you here, Dave. That's all.
It's all protection.
Well, you know, the truth is, though, I already ruined the ending, so.
But it's good. I have to say, it's good. Maybe we'll just keep this episode in the can. Nobody will ever hear it until after.
We've written and produced the movie.
That's right.
I'm going to bleep out what I said the ending should be.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
It'll just have a response.
Yeah. Yep. And you guys go, ooh, and then that'll be the thing.
It'll build suspense.
Or you could just add some inferior ending, and that me and Jamie are really excited about it.
That'd be even better.
And he dies.
He dies at the end. Oh.
It was all an illusion.
It was all a dream.
It was all a dream. It has to be
that
a
is
dream
the worst.
Ending.
Patrick Duffy steps out of the shower.
That dream ending thing is one of my biggest sort of pet hates in fiction.
Like
when people
like that
do
you
that,
call it a pet hate.
You don't say pet peeve?
I feel like pet peeve is an American thing.
Are you not a pet peeve person?
I guess so. I mean, maybe people saying pet peeve is my pet peeve, and it's actually my pet hate.
I like pet hate, and that you don't like pets, and you have a pet hate.
Yeah, my pet hate is I hate all pets.
I love this.
It's the literal meaning of it.
Well, we got an episode title.
Pet hate.
Just pure hate for pets.
Oh, poor pets.
What if it were a monkey?
What if somebody had a monkey and the monkey wouldn't leave me alone?
Well, no. Like, just I don't know. Are monkeys typically needy?
He can make himself breakfast.
Monkeys would be super needy.
No, they got diapers.
That seems pretty needy to me.
Yeah, it seems like if you've got to do that, unless they know how to, you know, put the pull-ups on or whatever. No, that's like having a 2-year-old. I was so happy to get out of that stage with kids. Oh my gosh. I don't hate kids, though.
Dave, do you like children?
No.
I don't know why, but I just assumed that.
Yep.
That I don't like children?
Yeah.
I don't hate them.
I feel like that you wouldn't have a lot of tolerance for them.
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
There are certain kids. Some kids I'm okay with.
I'm kind of the same way.
You guys, can I admit something? I'm kind of
you don't like your own children.
No, I like my... But this is the thing. Like, I'm okay with my kids because I have them and, you know, and I do love them.
Stuck with them.
But other people's
legally responsible
kids,
for their well-being.
It's hard to... And I think there are probably many parents who would agree with this. I'm not trying to be an a-hole here, but, like, other people's kids. Yep, I say a-hole because it's funnier to me than just saying asshole. But anyway. Right,
that's my pet hate.
Your pet hate. Swearing.
People who don't swear.
Oh, right. I swear. But yeah, and I like saying a-hole. It's funny. I had a friend who used to say it that way, and it was just, anyway, I picked it up, and it made me laugh. Back to the subject of hating children.
Anyway.
Other people's kids. Other people's kids. It's sometimes we'll have a friend over or whatever, and I always put like a 2-hour cap on it. I'm like, okay, 2 hours. We're done. We got to go now. We're out. We're done. I can't handle more than that. I have a hard time with that.
I just don't know what to say to children.
Yeah. Yes.
Say the same thing you would say to an adult. I actually despise when grown-ups talk to kids in any other way. Like, they feel like they have to dumb things down or whatever.
Not the how do I talk, or not... Yeah, not what manner in which
topic.
I speak to them.
Topics. Yeah.
But yeah, like, what have I got to talk to a 2-year-old about?
Podcasts.
Yeah, I don't think they care about that.
End of the world movies.
2-year-olds aren't going to do a lot of talking with you anyway, but like 4 and 5, you're going to get some great content back. I'm telling you. Just talk about the end of the world and talk about podcasts. I'm telling you, it's some great stuff.
I think if I'm talking to a 4 or 5-year-old, I'm going to be like, so Billy, the point of this story is to address the isolation we all feel as human beings.
I think we should have a test, like a 20-minute episode 1 week, and we'll have like a 5-year-old on. Just
that would
to see.
Be so good.
We might
like
have to do that.
The worst idea I've ever heard.
I think we should do it. Short episode and see if Dave can hold a conversation with a 5-year-old for like 20 minutes.
I wouldn't be able to swear.
This is the reason why it's awesome that there's no governing body for podcasts, because nobody can stop you doing what is obviously a terrible thing.
A terrible idea. It's a terrible idea.
There is nobody to stop you from ruining a child's life for 20 minutes.
So when you say it like that, it sounds fun.
It really does.
It's a challenge, really.
It sounds funny to me. It sounds hilarious.
What would we talk to a five-year-old about on this show?
What would we talk to anybody about? Well, you don't prepare. You don't plan. You just start the conversation and see where it goes. Dave, you don't change the format because of age.
I don't know how to shoot the shit with a five-year-old.
That's the thing. That's what would make it hilarious right there. We don't plan what we were going to say with Mike or anybody else we've talked to. And it somehow kind of works out. Yep.
But we can relate as people on a certain level.
See, that's the assumption you're making, though. You're assuming you will not relate to a five-year-old.
I'm British. Can you really relate with me? I'm not so sure.
Sure.
You've not seen what I've seen, Whiskers.
We speak the same language. We've been to some of the same places. We know some of the same people. We've had similar experiences in life.
Well, I mean, that could all be the same with a five-year-old. You never know.
Yep. It's very true. I think that I think that having a conversation with a child is actually, it kind of reminds you, like, yeah, don't make serious of a fun situation. We're going to say that over and over every week.
That sounds great.
Yep.
I feel like this is one of those things where you would learn a lot about yourself as a man.
Yep, I think so.
You know, it's like a coming of age podcast.
I want to clarify. Yeah, let's not call it that.
Again, boy, this is why it's great that there's no governing body.
It's so true.
I want to be very clear. I'm not against this because I don't want to talk to a five-year-old. I just don't think it would make for a very good podcast. I think it's going to be super awkward.
Sounds like a Christmas special to me.
It does.
Maybe a 10-year-old.
Whatever works.
Yeah, you could... whatever works for you.
Whatever works.
Well, I've talked to John and Amy's kid, Jonas. I had a relatively long conversation with him about Batman video games.
See? That's relating.
Yeah, he's 10. He could be on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway...
this got kind of weird.
We all got scared to say anything.
Yep.
Yeah, anytime we talk about children, it just feels like dangerous territory.
For sure. But hating children, that's an entirely different thing.
Yeah, it's a fair
topic there.
I don't hate children.
No, I don't think any of us hate children, but yeah, there's tolerance levels for sure.
Sometimes I get frustrated that they aren't at the same intellectual level as me.
Exactly.
Which is totally unfair to be frustrated at the child about, but it's just a feeling that I get. I'm like, wow.
It happens.
You're stupid, and I'm not stupid, so just be more clever, please.
Right. I just have this feeling of, why aren't you done baking yet?
Finish. It's like waiting for the food in the microwave. Hurry up.
Finish turning into a person so I can talk to you.
I think the thing that I like about this show is it allows people to talk about how flawed they are as humans. I've basically said that I hate animals and children.
And that you would get bored at the end of the world with endless resources.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, my favorite part is that at the end of the world, you're the last man on the entire planet, and you're still going to make podcasts.
Uh-huh. Websites, that's my favorite thing. I love that you're going to make websites, as many as you can.
I need places to put my endless podcasts. I need websites for that.
But no guests.
No guests. Yeah, that would be difficult. I think no guests. I would probably just create guests. You know, I'd put accents and stuff.
Yes.
I guess I'd have to, because what would be the point, you know?
Then who's listening to them?
What would be the
them?
Point of any of it? Nobody's ever going to hear these.
But for all I know, nobody listens to any of my podcasts.
That's not true. You've got analytics.
Unless a missing flyer shows up with your face on it, then maybe.
Exactly.
It could happen.
What if the podcast's numbers continued to grow?
Ooh.
See? So somebody out there is listening to your show, but you don't know who, and you have no way of hearing back from them.
And they won't contact me.
The other thing is, how could you be completely sure that the world was empty? You only know that your city is empty.
That's
and
true.
You can send, you can check the internet, you can see that nothing's being updated, but like you don't know empirically.
For all I know, something's just broken on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. So
now
you have to go
coming
out.
In.
You have to go and explore the rest of the world. But still, if you don't leave your own continent, let's say, or well, you're in England, so you've only got so much land to work with.
Yep.
If you never leave your island.
See, that's why like when I said it would be difficult because I wouldn't be able to go anywhere. I think that would be the issue, right? Is I wouldn't be able to check because I can't get off this godforsaken island.
Well, you know? There's the channel, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I just need to learn how to drive the huge train that goes under the channel tunnel.
You could do
no
that.
No biggie.
You just
I'm
push
pretty
that
sure
big
it
button.
Just says,
there's
yeah,
a big
the big
lever.
Green button. I can't imagine somebody's really driving it, you know, like they would a car, so.
They just turn it on and it goes on the track, right?
I'm going to say you probably have better luck with a boat.
Oh.
Do you think? I think I would crash quite severely into the shore.
Yeah, I think boats sound a little daunting because of storms and things. I don't know.
And I also think I would get severely lost, like Christopher Columbus, like lost, and end up in like Mexico, trying to get to Paris.
Do weather apps keep working?
Well, if everything resource-wise keeps working, then I would say yes.
Well, I mean, somebody has to plug in that data, right? Or is it all automated?
Fine question.
That's a good point. I assume that there are sensors that pick it up, right? Rather than just like supremo weatherman.
Yeah, but
you
I
get
think
a,
it's,
there has to be a human component or there wouldn't be meteorologists. There has to be, I don't know, if there's any meteorologists out there, call into the show, please.
So we can
give us some insight.
We really need this for our movie. It's a significant plot point.
This is very important research.
You don't want to get the details wrong.
It's true.
Were you saying that just because you'd be really unhappy if the weather app stopped working?
No, I'm saying that if the weather apps worked, you could check the weather apps to see if there's going to be a storm before you got on your boat.
I see. Or I could just, you know, get a book about meteorology and just learn that first.
Yep, learn first. I don't know. I like that because I think, I don't know. The ability to just have endless learning and not have to worry about, you know, everybody's like, oh, I don't have time.
How much are we driven by the way other people see us? How much are we motivated by wanting to impress others?
As in, because there'd be nobody else around, so I wouldn't care anymore.
Right. I would love to say that given all the time, money, and resources in the world, I would go and I would still travel to other places and see things. But would I really go to the pyramids? I mean, is it worth the bother if I don't have anybody to tell that story to?
Yeah, or did you just say the pyramids because you wanted to sound fancy on a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like what would I actually do? I don't know.
You just go and eat Twinkies or something.
Right, like yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. Would you work out? Would you want to stay
healthy?
Definitely
not. 100% no. I mean, I barely do now.
Right. Somebody flips the switch, you get back to reality, and you're just like a fat sack of shit.
I'm just eating Doritos for 7 years.
Anything you want, because it doesn't matter. There are no one to attract. You
yep.
know, there's just, wow.
I've changed my mind. This sounds awesome.
Yep. Oh, man.
But I still think it would be really important to learn how to travel across countries.
To drive a boat.
Just because of I would genuinely want to know, like, just to be sure that there's nobody else, like, on another island or something.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument to be made that you would eventually get to the point, I don't know how long it would take, but you'd probably eventually get to the point where your entire life becomes about seeking out another person.
Right, just hope. Like, hope that something else is out there.
Yeah,
right.
I honestly do believe that in that sort of scenario, people never give up hope. Like, it's just inbuilt into us. It's like part of the human condition. Like, that we will just see things that aren't there, you know, signs and stuff, and just continually search until we've found what we're looking for. Like, you know, kind of what Bono said.
Yep, and until you find what you're looking for, or you die.
Yeah.
One or the other. And that's that.
I think that was how the Bono song went.
I think the hopeful ending would be somebody getting on their boat and sailing across to wherever to seek out more people.
Yeah, because it's like, you go, guy.
Yeah, leave on a hopeful note of maybe there are other people.
Yep.
I still think that there's hope to be found in the missing persons note, though.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, no, that's just a clue for the audience.
Oh, I see. So,
like they don't see the note.
The character continues hope.
Right. But we see this missing person. And the question to us are we seeing this note in their reality? Or are we seeing this note in the reality where everybody is still there?
That's a fine question.
What happens in the sequel? Because this will obviously be a massive blockbuster hit.
Yep. Something's got to come out of this.
So there will be a sequel. So what?
Well, part two of the trilogy would be the person arriving at their destination.
Okay, so I've landed in America because that's where I'm going to go. So that makes the most sense to me to come to America. Yeah, because Europe and the rest is like mostly kind of attached.
Yep.
So it's easier for me to get there, right? So in theory, if there's been some terrible outbreak of something that's wiped everybody out, it's less likely to be in America in my brain. Hmm. That's my thinking.
Okay.
Also, I like America, so you know.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there.
Thank you.
We try to keep it nice for you.
I keep the garbage picked up.
So I arrive. Well, now I'm the star of the movie. I've just cast myself, clearly. I arrive in America. And then, so, you know, I continue on my quest. Is there any sort of hint going into the sequel? Maybe it's appeared in one of the trailers that there will be another character in this movie, do you think?
Maybe signs, but no definitive result until we get into the movie.
Hmm.
Or the end of the first movie isn't you launching from your country, but you landing at this other country, and spelled out on the beach is some kind of clear message.
SOS. Right.
That also works.
Like a welcome or a something.
Please don't eat the fruit. Whatever you do, don't eat the fruit type thing.
Some kind of message clearly left after this event.
Right.
But we don't know by whom or how.
Or how long ago.
Right.
Would it be a fresh message? I mean, would it be an obviously fresh message? Or would it be weathered a bit?
Well, that's why I say on the beach.
Yep.
Because then obviously the tide wouldn't have gotten up too high or something.
That would be fresh then.
Yeah. I don't know. Yep. There's a ton of great ideas here, guys.
I like that you went for trilogy.
Yep, trilogy's big.
Oh, yeah, because we can get you some like serious sci-fi shit with this later if we want.
3D?
No.
No, you don't believe 3D. In 3D.
No. No, I believe it exists.
I don't believe in the third dimension. Like, at all.
It does not exist.
I'll believe it when I see it. If there's ever a lull, I just tighten it up in editing.
Oh, I mean, good.
Conversations good naturally are going to have a lull.
Yeah.
So I don't stress on it.
Good. That's good to know.
There's magic behind the scenes.
It's editing magic. I don't believe in editing either.
For a long time, guests would be concerned that their episode was the worst.
I think that's a valid concern.
No, I feel like that was the best. I think that was the best episode. So I'm happy with that.